Shh, don't wake everybody up.
Sorry, I hit my toe. Can you get the light?
I got it.
I'll get up in a minute. Turn it off.
Panther, it isn't morning yet.
Oh, it's you.
Were you having pleasant dreams?
I wasn't sleepy. My God, it's 3 a.m.
You shouldn't have waited up.
We stayed for the second feature.
You want me to do your intro?
If it's not too much trouble.
Yeah. Do you see my glasses around here anywhere?
These them?
Yeah, thanks. And now it's time for our life together among the works of art. The radio show that attempts to explain... to explain to parents what these wayward youngsters do when they move to the big city. Yes, all you parents out there in suburbia, what do you think they're doing when they write and tell you they're fine? Well, let me tell you, they're staying up till all hours, riding the subways after dark, throwing their money away on trashy movies.
Hey, but it was really good trash.
I'm sure. As our so-called narrative opens, we find two of our little friends...
Actually, we found you.
Two misguided creatures whom we have learned to call Red and Phoebe. They are just now at 3 a.m. in the morning, coming home to the little apartment at 5:22 after a double feature. You could have called and said you'd been late.
Oh, really sorry. You want some coffee, Panther Red?
At this hour?
Hey, we really are sorry.
Thanks, but no thanks, Phoebe. I've got a little brandy here. Hope you don't mind. I just helped myself.
Who bought brandy? Incredible. Shades of class.
Listen, you mind if I go in the other room and watch TV for a while? Just call me when you want the outro.
Go ahead. We don't mind. It gets less professional with every passing day.
Well, it wasn't very professional of us to get in so late. Was it worth risking a narrator's wrath to stay for the second feature?
Oh, it was great, I guess.
Too much blood and gore and guts for you? Now, Russ Meyer doesn't hint around. He isn't afraid to show you the bloody stuff.
I thought the blood and gore was meant as a metaphor, sort of something...
For what? The torments of success?
Yes, that's really rather well put.
Well, it's not a bad metaphor. Not exactly new, either.
People getting dismembered?
As one of my college professors used to say, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Well, actually, he called it a doggy-dog world. It's a doggy-dog world out there.
Ah, the cutthroat world of business.
The world of business is cutthroat. It's as bad as show business. Or so they tell me. Well, I haven't seen that much of either one.
But that's what they say.
What do you say we invite Mary Jane to this party?
Were we having a party?
Well, sure, this is a party. Sitting around here talking about business. I'll go find that stuff. Hey, you pour some of that brandy. Okay. Hey, pass me that magazine over there. I need something to roll this on. Thanks. What's this, Left Out?
Yeah, that's a special issue in the energy crisis.
The energy crisis? You New Yorkers are constantly anticipating disaster. You know that? The only people who seem not to worry about having heavy objects fall on their head are the people who are constantly wrapped up in themselves. They spend all their worry on making it big, being a star.
I guess that's why people put up with all this.
With what, not being famous?
With places like this, 522, George's Housekeeping. Thanks. Are the people who work at Left Out Magazine, they put up with not getting paid, working under horrible conditions.
I thought some of them got paid.
Well, there's a paid staff, but they get paid in maybe money.
Maybe money?
That's what they call it. Maybe you get it, maybe you don't. I hear they owe the production manager $10,000.
How can he keep working there?
Well, actually, he's threatening to quit.
But how does he pay the bills?
He sells papers. Real papers, not Left Out. You know, the Times and street corners in the mornings. And he lives with his parents.
Well, those people sound like a bunch of masochists.
Well, they do it because they believe in free speech.
You think so?
Of course. They wouldn't go through all that if they didn't.
Listen, kiddo, they do it to see their names in print. Same reason I do it, you do it, and George does it.
Well, maybe that's part of it.
That's all of it.
I just don't believe that.
Well, okay, maybe not all of it. I mean, I've yet to see my name in print, and I'm still writing. But it's only the hope of getting published that keeps me going.
Don't you care about art for art's sake?
Now, that's the kind of talk I expected to hear in the Big Apple. Wow. It's been a long time since anyone asked me if I believed in art for art's sake.
Oh, excuse me for asking.
Ah, Phoebe, I'm sorry. I just thought that was funny. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
I guess I'm hypersensitive. Well, speaking of getting your name in print, did I tell you Left Out might use some of my pictures?
What's the deal?
Well, I don't know if they'll really use them, but they had this penny drive to raise money for the printer so we'd print the next issue. And I took pictures of it.
Them collecting pennies?
Right.
You can't accuse them of thinking big.
Guess not. Anyway, the idea was to have tables in the streets with free copies of the magazine and subscription forms and those big glass jars the water and water cooler comes in.
Couldn't they just buy coffee somewhere?
Why?
What they need water for?
What about water?
Didn't you say you just brought big jars of water?
No, the bottles are empty. They use them to collect all the money people give them. So all the left-out people were standing around on various street corners around town with these tables and bottles and magazines. And they were shouting, "Do you have 2 cents to spare for freedom of speech?" One woman was cursing out, "I'll never read your magazine again until you change your stand on abortion!" And another guy harangued us for an hour. The whole thing made me feel very sorry for the management. I mean, to be struggling to stay in print and having people feel that way about you. You know, one location I was at was in front of the Metropolitan, and all these very rich people wearing fur coats were getting out of cabs and rushing right past us. I don't think they believed we were from a real magazine. Thanks. We had these horrible signs someone made at the last minute. Nobody thought of it until the day of the penny drive, and the signs were taped to the tables, but they wouldn't stand up, and the wind kept blowing them away. And of course, nobody remembered to bring rocks or anything to hold down the stacks of magazines. So those kept blowing away. And then the volunteers would leave cups of coffee on the tables, and then there'd be a really strong gust of wind, and coffee would blow all over and drip all over everything. So we'd be trying to sell all these wet magazines to people wearing fur coats. Oh, I guess it was worth it. They got 48 new subscribers and a lot of pennies. I don't know whether my pictures are going to be very upbeat, though. Everybody looks like they're dying of exposure.
It sounds like you got a good day suffering for your art out of it.
Well, they don't have the money for ad campaigns. They just figured it was a way to make money with no money.
But it's just a step in your strategy, right?
Strategy?
To become a star. Isn't that part of your plan, to get published? I thought everybody around here had one. You know, me with my novel and George with Dissolve. Everybody's got their little master plan.
Does George's master plan depend on finishing the Boneholder piece?
Well, you know what I mean. He figures Dissolve magazine gets him certain contacts.
Mm.
And he wants to program a festival of Boneholder's early work. And if it catches on, he can give interviews and lectures and... Well, I don't know exactly what he's got in mind, but he seems to have it worked out. I mean, the people I knew back home, they had plans, but they just planned to get married and buy a house and have kids and life insurance, 2 cars and a steady job. Well, you never worry about being famous. Well, even you seem to know what you're doing.
I guess. Like, I mean, if we could get an apartment where I could have a dark room, then I could get photography work and write criticism and... Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I really want to be a photographer, but it pays better than typing. Well, at least in theory.
You know, Phoebe, about the apartment, well, I'm really kind of broke just now, and I just don't know if I can...
Who could that be?
I'll go look. Julian, my boy, what brings you home so late?
Good evening, Red. Oh, good evening, Phoebe. What brings me home so late? It's logical you'd be curious.
We just thought you were already asleep.
Yeah, I know you didn't mean to pry, Phoebe, much as you love gossip. With your permission, I'd like to break something. I feel the need to break something.
Break something?
Oh, the mood I'm in, it's the only thing that'll work. How about this bottle of brandy? Yeah, this'll do. Red, Phoebe, you might want to cover your ears. Let me get the broom. Do you see the dustpan anywhere?
Here, out in the hall.
Do you have shoes on? Oh, Phoebe, of course you don't. Do you have slippers or something? I don't want you getting splinters.
I'll just be careful where I walk.
Excuse me, let me just sweep under the table here.
You were careful to do it right next to the garbage.
Yeah, do you see anywhere I've missed?
I think I see some over in the corner.
I'm sorry for this unbecoming display of emotion.
Are you all right, Julian?
Oh, sure, perfectly all right. No, obviously I'm not all right. I don't usually do things like that, do I?
No, usually not.
Well, I've made enough of a fool of myself for one night. You forgive me if I don't stay up? I was planning to get up early tomorrow and clean the oven if I won't be disturbing anybody. I've been thinking that I could at least make cookies or something if the oven were clean. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, God, good night. We ought to break the oven or something before he gets to it.
What's eating him?
It's a whole new side of the man.
Probably yet another disappointment in love.
Well, why doesn't he ever have any successes?
I don't know. Maybe he's scared to...
I think he'd rather have his fantasies than get involved.
Wouldn't we all?
Not me. I'd rather have the real thing.
Would you?
Of course.
You want to know what I think?
Oh, sure.
Sex isn't all that interesting. Now, success, now that's interesting. I've given up sex in favor of art, well, at least for the moment. Sex has been responsible for some of the worst events in my life.
Oh, that's wonderful that you could just make that decision and stick to it.
You know, when this women's lib thing first came along, I said, great, now I can just sit back, I don't have to worry about getting rejected, I don't have to save up enough money to take a girl out someplace fancy. I figured women's lib meant that I could just wait around, and if someone was interested, she'd step right up and let me know. So I waited, months went by, no one even asked me for a date. So I decided these women, they're just really full of it. They're always talking about how much they hate being passive and receptive. But when the time comes for them to put themselves on the line and, oh, they don't want to.
Am I like that?
Oh, how do you mean? Too passive?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. You seem to assert yourself all right.
Who'd call at this time of the night?
Hello? Hey, how you doing? You know what time it is? Hey, it's great to hear someone who talks normal. Hey, wait a sec, I want to go into the other room. Hold on. Excuse me. So what's new down Terminus way? Hey, it's great to hear from you.
What time is it anyway? Did I miss my cue for the outro?
Sure.
I missed it. Well, why didn't you call me?
What? Oh, I'm sorry. No, you didn't miss it. I was thinking of something else.
Red's little friends are night owls, aren't they? Who's he talking to?
How should I know? I don't follow the details of his life.
Oh, excuse me. What time is it anyway?
You're the only one with a watch around here, Panther.
Hey, what can I do to persuade you people not to call me Panther? I'm just going to do the outro and go home, okay?
Be my guest.
So this brings to a close this episode of our life together among the works of art. Tune in again next time to find out who called Red at this ungodly hour. Will Phoebe find success taking pictures of small-scale fundraising schemes? And which is ultimately the more interesting, sex or success?
You were eavesdropping!
I read the script, for the love of mice. The whole shebang is brought to you by the Serious Magazine Readers of America, the folks who say, why are you wasting time listening to the radio when you could be reading a Serious Magazine? It has read no people in California, or what?
No, I think it's somebody from Terminus.
Aha, makes sense.
What do you mean?
I was talking with a little old lady in Holy Father. This episode was written and produced by Jessica Ramey and featured
Nancy Cohen as Phoebe,
Robert Kinn as Red,
Manuela Gracious as Julian,
and Adrian Cronauer as one of the last bastions of defense against attacks on standard American English pronunciation. There is no such thing as the Serious Magazine Readers of America. Music by Maxwell Ramey, technical production by Miles Smith, recorded at the Acoustiguide Studios in fabulous New York City.